WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive, still broadcasting in high definition AM radio at AM 1570. Everybody's checking us out. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour beginning next week. Got a lot of things going on with opening day. The Maryland Lottery has me giving away the old school 50th anniversary instant scratch off, just like the 70s all over again. I hope Orioles baseball's like the 70s. It'll be good again. And Window Nation, our friends at 866-90 Nation, going to be joining us. First off, we're going to be at the Hollywood Casino at the Barstool Sportsbook for the Orioles opener on Thursday. And then next week, the Crab Cake Tour is rocking. We're going to be at Costas, which is why I'm wearing the Costas shirt, 50th anniversary. That's on Wednesday to kick off opening day. And then big doings around here. The Boss in town on Friday, opening the new CFG Bank Arena. And then the Eagles on Saturday. We're going to be down at Fadley's eating some legit crab cakes downtown. Might be our last time at the old Lexington Market. So it's going to be good doings around here. This guest is one of my favorite humans, and she knows that. Old schooler. She a Terp, amongst other things. She used to be, like, I'd say she's from Jersey. After what Springsteen and the Smithereens and Bon Jovi have done since we were teenagers, Bonnie Bernstein, Jersey's all right with the Maryland people. We're all in it together. How you doing? It's so good to see you.
I'm doing great, Ness. It's great to see you as well. And congratulations on the blooming of the podcast and all the things you are doing as a full-fledged entrepreneur, my friend.
Well, this is where you come in. I remember it was Velvet Hammer, right? You were mentoring young people. All I did here is hire young people. You could put on my competitor at the Fan. I hired them all. So like literally giving people a start and opening something new. And everybody remembers you. I have pictures of you and me at the 1995 World Series in the snow. At Jacobs Field. You know what I mean? So like, but that's not forever. And it was fun. And I had a flip phone and you had a gig and your hair was done and you're an ESPN. Like, but you think at that point, maybe I'll be doing this 30 years later, but then things come and go and opportunities. You're doing something now that I know is a real passion project and a place in your life where I think you really have something to say about the space.
Yeah, well, thank you, Ness. It's interesting because there are still people who I get hit on Twitter. Oh, when are we going to see you on CBS or ESPN again? And it's, I think once you've been on a platform, people think you're there forever. And I loved every single second of that. But even when I was broadcasting at the highest level, I think I realized that I had an entrepreneurial itch that I needed to scratch. And it really played so much into my ability to bring all of the creative ideas that I wanted to bring to life, actually bring them to life, which the reality is when you're in the thick of that big corporate ecosystem as talent, I'll use in air quotes, it's hard to get a lot of those creative ideas across the table. And so you mentioned Velvet Hammer Media. That was my first company. That's more on the consulting side, the mentoring side, working with brands and helping them build their storytelling. But Walk Swiftly Productions is actually the production company that helped bring the podcast that you've been kind enough to let me come on here and talk about to life. And that's called She Got Game, Inspiring Women Inspired by Sports. And it's really, I would say, a unique celebration of the 50th anniversary of Title IX in that we showcase 10 women who are celebrities and industry leaders and world-class athletes. And what they all have in common, their common bond, is that they played sports growing up, and they talk about how all of the life skills they learned as athletes has helped how they parlayed that into professional success. And that's the really cool through line for the podcast.
Well, you know, I guess 50 years ago when, you know, we're just, Andrea Kirby was on the air here in Baltimore. When I think of journalists having a platform, other than, I guess, gymnast and Nadia Comaneci and women's tennis players, we just, Cal Ripken's Foundation honored Billie Jean King here the other day. I mean, like, oh, wow. Literally 48 hours ago. So these legendary people, but they were, you know, for if you're a young lady who may want to have been a gymnast in New Jersey to maybe get a scholarship or, you know, wherever that was for you on your trail, to look and say, who are the people that are leaders? But then what happens when their ESPN CBS moment's over, when they're not an athlete anymore, what they wind up doing with their lives and the wisdom that's brought along the way, you know, in every ways, being a journalist where we had inside, we could ask questions of people and learn things, to be able to distill that knowledge and that wisdom down for people and to say, you know, in a cogent way. It's just something I'm very drawn to that. I like learning.
Yeah. Thank you. It's a really cool type of conversation. And what I love about She Got Game is that it's actually research-based. So several years ago, Ernst & Young and ESPNW did a study. And one of the most fascinating findings that came out of that study was that 94% of women in this country who were in the C-suite, so your CEOs, your CFOs, your COOs, the highest of the high when it comes to senior leadership, they were all athletes growing up. And they draw the distinction about what they learned, the leadership, the teamwork, the resilience, the accountability, the time management, everything we learn as athletes that we never talk about when we're athletes, right? Like, talk to a young girl and ask her why she's playing sports. It's not like, oh, I want to learn how to be a great leader and be accountable so I can use those life skills to be successful in sports. We're not having those conversations, but they're really important conversations to have. And here's why. We've talked ad nauseum, and for all of the great reasons, about how Title IX has opened up myriad doors for girls and women in sports. What we don't talk about enough is that despite the incredible the incredible progress that we've made, girls are still leaving sports at a higher frequency and an earlier age than boys. Now, why is that? There are lots of reasons. Maybe it's they're not able to get a scholarship. They're not able to play professionally. Maybe they're going through puberty and their bodies change and playing sports doesn't feel the same. Maybe they're being bullied. There's also still, Nestor, the fact that there's a stigma, and we don't realize this so much on the coast, but in many areas of America, there is a stigma against girls playing sports. You're going to look too masculine. Boys won't like you. And so these
I just
things.
saw the piece, by the way, on the girls wrestling in Michigan, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And you know that wrestling for females, and I wrestled when I was in high school, at like just never happened, you know. And I recently saw someone, I think we both have a fondness for Susie Colbert, these videos unearthed of her playing football as a young girl, and
Yeah.
you know, and how outrageous it was that you know she would play football. And I don't think. Look, I'm in a, you know, I'm in a big city, right? You're like, it's like you said,
Yeah.
it's come here, it came here a generation ago or like that to some degree, maybe somewhere over the hill they don't accept it. But I would still say there are places where these breakthrough things are very, very not just controversial, but just there's such
It's
a
true.
fight against allowing you to do what you want to do.
It is so true. And I come from a state in New Jersey where wrestling is king and now it's becoming queen. And more girls are wrestling in the state of New Jersey. And it's really cool to see. But,
Is that costing the gymnastics program some
no, it
talent?
is not. The gymnastics program
But we
is
have that
still.
lacrosse baseball problem here. You know, you can't play them
Well,
both.
yeah.
So, right, yes.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, lacrosse and field hockey are so popular in New Jersey. But when I was getting recruited at Maryland and I went down and I saw these dudes running around with long sticks with little nets on the top, I had no idea what that was. But, you know, getting back to the conversation, what She Got Game empowers girl dads everywhere and girl moms everywhere to do is construct a different type of conversation with their daughters about the power of sports. Like, yes, we all play because we want to win, and the championship is the goal, or the gold medal is the goal, or whatever it is. But playing sports is about so much more than what you're actually doing and achieving on the field. And so we have guests like Chelsea Clinton and actresses Aisha Tyler and Folake Oluwafoyeku, who we know them for what they're doing in Hollywood. And we didn't realize they played sports, but sports has been a really powerful part of their journey. We interview women like Layla Ali, one of the all-time greatest female boxers, and Shawn Johnson, the Olympic gymnast, who everybody knows as athletes, but lots of people don't know that they've leveraged what they've learned as athletes to become extraordinarily successful businesswomen. And then we have the industry leaders like, you know, lots of folks in the Baltimore, Washington area know who Sheila Johnson is. She's the only woman to have ownership stakes in three pro sports teams in the Wizards, Caps, and Mystics. Well, she played tennis growing up and she broke the color barrier at the University of Illinois as the university's first female Black cheerleader. And she just talks about the intestinal fortitude and the spirit of competition that she learned as an athlete that she has been able to leverage to break barriers in sports, in ownership, that no woman has ever done. And so, you know, I think the through line is every single one of them and me, we've all been through it. There have been times when we have felt like we are paddling upstream by ourselves and we are being told you're not good enough, you shouldn't, you can't, you're rocking the boat, stay in your lane. Every single one of these women has been through that, and they share those stories and how they've leveraged what they've learned as athletes to help them break barriers. And that's why I think, Ness, it's a different type of podcast than we're used to.
Bonnie Bernstein is the show's creator and executive producer. This is what happens when I read from the script here of She Got Game. So yeah, let's play a little game here. We'll do my first episode of He Got Game. Bonnie Bernstein is my guest. How did you get into athletics? I mean, I've known you a long time, and I have a fun story about Super Bowl 35. Not fun for you because you grew up Giants and I was Ravens, but I have a fun old tape story. But all the years I've known you and we've had fun and chatting and this and socially, I don't really know like how you wound up at Maryland. I know you went to Maryland. I know you were a gymnast there. I didn't know you then. I only knew you maybe in 95. But give me the process of, did you play soccer? Did you play softball? Were you a ballet girl? What was a five-year-old Bonnie Bernstein that led you to where you were?
Oh my gosh. So the five-year-old was pretty much into everything. First and foremost, I think my mom just needed to put me into something to like give me a place to expend my energy, because I had a lot of energy as a kid and I was just like always bouncing off the wall. So I started doing acrobatics when I was four. I started playing soccer when I was five.
You were like the cartwheel girl, the little cartwheel. Yeah. Okay, that's cool.
The,
all right.
The cartwheels, the somersaults, all the things. Then I started doing gymnastics when I was seven. Nadia Comaneci in the 76 Olympics was my inspiration.
Oh, what a great song, right?
Softball, yeah.
They made a soap opera after it, Bon.
Yeah, there you go. And then in high school, I did track and field. So I ran 110 and 400 hurdles. I threw javelin. I threw shot put. But gymnastics was the sport that I wound up pursuing in college. And interestingly enough, Ness, I was going to go to George Washington and it looked like I had a scholarship available, but then that fell through. Maryland was the first recruit trip I went on. I love the coach. I love the campus. By the time I went back to my coach, Bob Nelligan, he had already committed all of the scholarships. So he said, you know, walk on if you can find a way to make it work. And we'll give you a scholarship the rest of the way. For those of our listeners and viewers who are diehard Maryland fans, you may remember 88, 89 is the year Bob Wade, our lovely basketball coach, got nailed for all the NCAA recruiting violations.
No lights, no cameras, plenty of action. I remember the marketing campaign, Bonnie.
It was. But part of the byproduct of that, in addition to having to give a chunk of change back to the NCAA and the postseason ban and all that sort of stuff, was that there was a scholarship freeze. And so I had blown out my knee freshman year. There was a scholarship freeze. And so it was a bit of craziness, but ultimately I wound up getting my scholarship my senior year. And the experience at Maryland, both as a gymnast and a student, and everything that I learned in the journalism school that prepared me for life in network television, I wouldn't have changed the journey for the world. It was amazing in every single way.
But gymnastics, so it wasn't watching Yankees games, or I don't even know what your passion was as a kid. I mean,
it was as a kid. Yeah. So as those were the sports I played as an athlete. As a fan, my parents were born and raised in Brooklyn. They were Dodgers fans. When the Dodgers moved out west in the 50s and the Mets came along, they adopted the Mets as their team. And so I was a diehard Mets fan and a Giants fan, a sort of peripheral Knicks fan. Honestly, like I really, really didn't get into basketball until I had the opportunity to start covering Michael Jordan and the Bulls back during their second three-peat. I mean, I knew the game, but wasn't nearly as passionate about like lots of my friends who were diehard Knicks fans. So it was predominantly baseball and football. But I remember when the Mets won the World Series in 86, I had to watch nearly every single game. I knew those guys inside and out. You could have pulled the names off the back of their jerseys and I would have known by the Daryl Strawberry sweet swing or Doc Gooden's pitch on pitches on the hit. Like I would have known every single one of them. And that was a pretty amazing season for the Mets.
Well, I would do a whole hour he got game with you. That was just a little taste of, getting to know Bonnie Bernstein. I want to ask you because, like, I always thought you were the greatest sports radio host, and you were always the when we did stuff together, Mickey Mantle's and different places when I was out. I loved having you on and being a part of what I did, and thought you were such a natural at talking to people and getting things out of them. And I don't know the sideline reporter gig, and I can cartoon it and make it the coach. How did it make you feel? How did it feel to hit the winning shot? You know, like whatever that is. I know you went to a different level in how you went about that work a long time ago. I think it's been reined back in, you know, hence my exit amongst others of asking difficult questions and having coaches burr up in real time on people like you down in the field in the line of fire. But, you know, I just think about all these years later talking to people in long form. This is where you're supposed to be, you know, and I think learning more about these guys, Amy Trask is another person on your hit list here who I love having her on. And the more I have her on, the more I'm like, man, the next time I have her on, I'm going to ask her about that. Are you still engaged to the level of like following the Lamarathon, for instance?
Probably not as close as Raven fans are, but obviously I see what's going on with Lamar, and I've always found it interesting that he decided not to have an agent. And I see both sides of the coin because I've gone through phases where I haven't had an agent. And I think Lamar's thing to a certain extent is there's no substitute for the personal relationships, whether it's with Bisciotti or Harbaugh or whomever it is. I mean, Lamar has been fully invested in this team. But on the flip side, when you're negotiating always gets hard. Always gets hard. And the benefit of having an agent is you have that middleman who can play the bad guy. So when and if, and I know that Lamar's asked for a trade, but in the event they're able to figure it out and he stays, you sign that contract, you get on the field, no hard feelings. It wasn't personal. It's just business. But the person who was handling the business part, the really tough part, was somebody other than you. So, for Ravens fans, I really hope things get worked out. He is a gem. I've followed him since he was playing at Louisville, and he's a really special player and a special human. And, I just hope it all gets worked out.
So this inspiration and the entrepreneur side of this and the podcast side of this, what's the next step in all of this? Because you said a lot of production going into this, second seasons, for you in focusing on this, what's the next thing you're doing? Because I don't see you on ESPN, but I do see you tweeting about the Terps and the Lady Terps who had a rough go a little earlier in the week. But I think to some degree, I see your Terpdom. That's never left you.
Well, we just need to talk for a second about what a phenomenal job Brenda Freeze did with the team this year, because they lost, I think, five of their top six scorers. There was an exodus of players. There was dissension among the ranks. We didn't know if Diamond Miller, who's like my Somerset Jersey homie, got a shout out to my Jersey girls. We weren't sure if Diamond Miller was going to stay or not. And so from there being zero expectations and all sorts of question marks to getting the Elite Eight, I mean, South Carolina's won 42 straight games, 36 this season. And they just, you're dealing with just massive women down on the low block. And the fact that Maryland hung in there, got to the Elite Eight and gave South Carolina a good run was just like a feat in of itself. But I would say arguably, this is Brenda's most amazing coaching feat of all of the great things that she's done at Maryland. So there's that.
He might be a guest in the future then, huh?
Oh yeah. But in terms of the entrepreneurship-ness, and you know this too, you've always got irons in the fire. You're always pitching concepts. You're always putting together budgets. You're always talking to distribution platforms, potential sponsors. How are you going to bankroll these projects? So there are a lot of irons in the fire. I hope there will be a season two of She Got Game, Inspiring Women Inspired by Sports. Audible seems to be thrilled with it. And for any of your listeners and viewers who are interested in checking it out, you can go to Audible if you are a subscriber and just search for She Got Game. If you are not a subscriber, you can still listen to all of the episodes for free. You can get a 30-day free trial. And the awesome thing is that all of our episodes are 20 to 30 minutes. So they are, as we call it in content land, snackable. But it's really inspiring stuff. And Ness, you said this right off the top. This is such a passion project for me because it's personal. I would not have been able to achieve the success I have in the business at ESPN, at CBS, without the intestinal fortitude that I developed as a college athlete and just being able to embrace the teamwork that's so critical to being able to make it in this industry.
I love how you just like roll through. Like if I were like having a meal with you and we didn't have to do this in 24 minutes, I would have just stopped you when you said, oh, yeah, I hurt myself. And then I can't. Yeah, and then senior year. And I'm like, hold on, hurt yourself is a big deal. As a guy who's now been hurt with a bad back 2 years ago at a knee thing back in 06. I think of those experiences as being the worst times in my life. And it didn't affect like my voice and what I did for a living or my scholarship or my place in the world or my job. Like it does with every athlete I've ever seen who's gotten injured or dinged, as they would say. You know, you mentioned girls, young women, quitting sports, leaving. I have a cousin who was much like you, played sort of a non-revenue sport on the West Coast. She was a tennis player, Pac-10, played at Arizona. She was a stud. She played with Dr. J's daughter in San Diego, and all she did was hit balls. She went to college. I don't think she's picked a racket up in 20 years. She threw her hip out, hip surgery, you know, like all of those things that happen to football players that we see, old injuries. I would think there's some old gymnastics injuries for some old Bonnie Bernsteins and a million other people like you that quit when you get hurt and say, hold on here. You know, I'm not going to the Olympics. I'm not Nadia Comi. I need to focus on my career, which you did a pretty good job of either way.
Well, here's what I'll say. Every single woman that I interviewed for She Got Game shared stories about falling down and getting back up. And it's an important part of the messaging, I think, for She Got Game, because I think societally, we're conditioned to look at failure or injury as something that is bad or negative or destructive or a personal indictment on us. And every single one of the women in She Got Game experienced failure. And rather than looking at failure as the end game, they view it as a critical step towards success. And it's so important because if you can shift your mindset to embrace failure, appreciate failure, look at failure as just a critical step up the mountain that will enable you to get to the top of the mountain. And when you get to the top of the mountain, have such a greater appreciation for what you've been able to accomplish because you fell down and you got back up, or you hit a wall, but you found a different way. And that is at the very heart of what you learn through sports, because very rare is the athlete who knows nothing other than success. They have experienced hardship, failure, injury, being told they can't, being told they're not good enough. And when you take that path and you stay on the journey, it has such greater impact on your life than you can ever possibly realize when you're in the moment. And at the heart of She Got Game, that's what this series is all about, inspiring women to let them know what the possible looks like if they stay the path.
Did you see the kid from Iowa get pinned who's never lost 2 weeks ago, and his mother?
No.
Google that one. It's like the kid who's never lost, and they had a video on his mother. It was unbelievable, you know, but he was a senior, fourth year, had never lost, was going for the golden sort of crown, whatever they call it in wrestling. But nonetheless, Bonnie Bernstein, she's a winner with gymnastics and having fun and doing this new podcast. I want everybody to go check out. It's called She Got Game. She's the show's creator and executive producer and entrepreneur and always doing good stuff. And we'll talk some turtles somewhere down the line. Come down here, get yourself a proper crab cake with me somewhere along the line.
I knew
all right?
You talked about crab cakes right at the top of the segment. I was like, oh, that sounds good.
See,
now,
that's what
you.
It's my
thank
enticement.
You.
You can smell it from here. Bonnie awesome. Bernstein, go follow her out on social media and all the good places that she is. And if you love the Terps, you'll love Bonnie on Twitter because she loves the Terps too. She always a Terp. I am Nestor. We're getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road on the 5th. We're going to be at Costas, which is why I'm wearing the shirt, over my homeland at Dundalk on the 7th at Fahley's. And we're taking it to Captain Larry's downtown in Federal Hill on the 27th of April as well. All of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.